welcome to Inside Selling. I'm Liston Witherell, partner at Sales DNA, where we help inside sales teams get more meetings and close more business without feeling salesy, manipulative, or gross. Today, I'm excited to bring my conversation with Nelly Abe to you. Nelly is a sales professional. She works with a company called Sail Through, and she's the director of global sales development. During our conversation, she's going to tell you all about their onboarding process at Sail Through, as well as her thoughts on the future of sales development generally. Before I get to that, I would like to invite you to check out any of our articles about inside sales at blog.salesdna.co or our online training at courses.salesdna.co. If you use the code podcast, you can get 30% off any course you see on the site. So just at checkout, enter the code podcast and you'll get 30% off. If you'd like custom training or an audit of your B2B sales process, head over to our website, salesdna.co, and click contact. We'd love to start a conversation with you. And now, without any further delay, my conversation with Nelly Abe. Hey, it's Liston with Inside Selling, and I'm here with Nelly. Nelly, how are you today?
Great. How's it going, Liston?
It's going really well, and I'm excited to have you on the podcast because you are managing a team that's been growing and starting to reach maturity. So I didn't ask you this specifically, but I think you're probably dealing with some things that are starting to break and systems need to be rebuilt. And so I'm wondering, specifically with onboarding your new BDRs, how does that affect onboarding and bringing them up to productivity?
Yeah, definitely. And you hit the nail on the head where, you know, I've been here about 3 years and we had a first kind of cohort or class of hires every year, it seems like. And this is actually a unique time where every single SDR on my team all were hired within a 2 to 3 month time frame, where typically I've had a lot more time to invest on more like a one-on-one, 1 to 2 onboarding program. So I really had to think about rescaling how we onboard because I just didn't have the bandwidth to do more like one-on-one, one-on-two training. And neither did our team, frankly, in terms of shadowing and, you know, that from even times for our sales leaders to fit that many new people all on their schedules. So we ended up doing it more of like a cohort training where some of it was together, some of it was individual, just because I still believe in that program. But we have getting into the weeds, we have a 2-week onboarding program, but a 2-month quota ramp. So our SDRs are producing and working inbound leads initially right after that second week. So week 3, they have their accounts in terms of an outbound perspective, but I have them get their feet wet, replying to some of our inbound leads and booking meetings within that 3rd week. But obviously from an outbound perspective, we're an enterprise solution. So it takes time to build pipeline, even from an SDR perspective. So we account for, and it used to be 4 when I started, 4 months, and we've brought that up to 2 months in terms of quota attainment. And then by 3rd month, you know, depending on when their start date was, they're expected to produce in like a fully ramped quota.
And what were some of the steps you took to go from 4 months to 2 months? Because cutting that time to full productivity in half is a big task. So what would you say made the biggest difference in order for you to get there?
Yeah. And honestly, I think the focus is less of it takes 4 months versus 2 months. It should take 2 weeks to have an SDR ready to start producing. I'd say 2 to 4 weeks. The pipeline on an enterprise solution, which obviously is going to vary again, like we changed it more so because our sales cycle we were trying to get that less and less. And so it was more of just quota attainment versus actual productivity. So the steps from, I'd say, like a 4 to 6 week plan to more of a 2 plan was making sure we had all parties involved and preparing for the new hire date early on. And I've built out a 2-week onboarding program where they honestly don't have any breaks, which is difficult, but we'll have a check-in every single day. There's questions and quizzes every single day. We have an elevator pitch certification program that I worked on with our sales enablement. So we're lucky to have someone that runs sales enablement, but they definitely by no means have bandwidth to train the SDR team every time there's new hires. So that fits under my function, but working with our sales enablement leader to create certifications for them in those initial 2 weeks has proven to be very successful, because there's a lot of work where they are sitting and taking tests and quizzes and preparing for it. One thing I think interesting that we've done, because of course everyone has, you know, their typical 2 week onboarding program, but we've created a, because of our sail through company, the nautical theme of a first mate. So we always have a first mate with outside of the sales development org and also within. So they have a mentor that's one of the vets that sits with them and has, they have a check-in with them every day throughout those first 2 weeks. So they have that one-on-one time, but they also have a mate outside of the inside sales org, typically a sales director, enterprise sales director, or somebody on, you know, the marketing side that can give them exposure to other sides of the business, which is one unique thing we've done. I also have a scavenger hunt, which can be really fun. And I think that's helped just in terms of some creative ideas where it's fun, but it's also everything we've gone through in the first 2 weeks. They can kind of see how much they've done from their own learnings and managing their own development. But then also, you know, if the VP of marketing is doing a training on the pitch, having some questions that they need to answer in the scavenger hunt based on their shadows, but then also find out who's an Irish citizen on the sales team. So it's forcing them to get out of their comfort zone and ask questions and, you know, who's the tallest person outside of headquarters, so that they'll understand who our remote employees are and key stakeholders they need to learn. So we've had some fun with that, and it's very in-depth. So any free time they have, they're focusing on that scavenger hunt. And a lot of it is, it helps them have a fun way to do a lot of the process initiations and social selling. So it's follow sail through on Instagram and Twitter and LinkedIn and post X case study to your network. So examples like that, where it checks off those initial, you know, boring trainings and gets those out of the way in a creative, you know, fun method, if that makes sense.
And so do I understand correctly that you created 2 full weeks, 80 hours of onboarding?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's broken out, you know, hour by hour with different trainings. And a lot of that is shadowing, right? So it's not a presentation every single time. So it's each sales SDR does a shadow, so they can see the different styles. Like I give them the autonomy to create a lot of their messaging after they've hit the ground running. So everyone has a different style. And so I think it's important for them to obviously shadow, and I'll not just shadow, but give them key points to focus on during that shadow that's different with every single SDR. And then obviously, so we have a 1-to-2 alignment. So there's a lot of investment from the AEs, who we call sales directors, when there's a new SDR that's onboarded, and a lot of investment in building out that alignment in those first couple of weeks. And then week 3 goes into more territory mapping and like project planning in terms of game of attack.
Interesting. So one thing we think about at Sales DNA is what we call the selling success triangle. So really there's 3 things that we try to address. Mindset. So having the right thought process about what you're trying to accomplish. And that's not just like pushing something to be sold in front of someone at any cost. That's not the right mindset. We want to get to the truth, right?
Right.
Can I help this person? Do they really need my help? Are they a good candidate? Then we think about skills, and then we think about process. What are the things I should be doing every day in order to reach success? Now,
right.
One thing I would add for any individual company is you have to understand what you're selling as well. So, you know, the product, what it does for people, who your customers are. Of those 4 things, where do you focus most of your time in your onboarding, and why did you make that choice?
Yeah, so in terms of where I focus, I think it's obviously like a trick question in that we focus on all of them. But in terms of order, it's not order of importance, but I think it's order of what they're able to grasp and when. So it's been really interesting, you know, and I've learned this from making mistakes of, if we introduce product too early, it goes in one ear and out the other. So product and actually what sail through is, and seeing a demo and diving into the platform, is the last on our list and usually isn't done until a month in. Because at the end of the day, like that's in the first quarter, you don't even need to know about the product, nor do I want the SDR's messaging product specific details and outreach. So what I'd say we focus on first is process, just because I think a lot of like Salesforce training, a lot of the tools and understanding what they're used for. I mean, when you're hiring people, we typically hire a little more senior SDRs because we're an enterprise solution, but I've hired a few SDRs, obviously, quite a few, especially at my last company right out of school. And it's, you know, you're teaching Google Docs how to have an email signature, you know, how to write an email, very fundamental basics for those first few days, things that you forget about. So making sure you're touching on, you know, the fundamentals of just being a professional is something that people lose sight in how important that is for someone even a couple years into a job. You know, like how do you communicate interdepartmentally and those very, very fundamental things that we often take for granted and forget that you actually have to teach them on that. So I'd say process would be initial. So we use SalesLoft as our email tool. So understanding what SalesLoft does and is, Salesforce, doing a lot of training on that, workflows. And then I would say second would be messaging, and nothing about the product, but more understanding. We sell into the retail and media verticals. So understanding with marketing roles within that, understanding what marketing even is. So very high level domain knowledge, I'd say, is the first like actual subject matter that we'll touch on, and what the roles are that we're selling into and what they care about and what their day to day is the first introduction into sales through, I would say. And then third, I would say mindset, in terms of really diving into what motivates them, how they think, and having those conversations. So I'm thinking of it in that regard, in terms of mindset. I have our, you know, EVPs of sales, you know, kind of give a career pitch on how important it is to do X, Y, and Z, and how exciting it is that they were chosen to work at this company. And a lot of confidence building, I would say, is more my definition of mindset, that I would say is probably third. And then lastly, I would say skills, simply because getting tactical in terms of like role plays and how to territory map and how to actually prospect, I would say is probably last. And then, well, second to last, with product being last, that comes, you know, in probably month two, month three.
Cool. So really informative. I think at this point, it's best for us to change gears a little bit, because I wanted to address something you mentioned in our pre-show call, which is that, and this is a quote from you, things change so fast in the SDR world. Mm-hmm. And so it's something we think about a lot here at Sales DNA. And I'm curious, how do you see the future of sales development and really sort of the art of getting meetings and starting conversations?
Yeah, totally. And I think the future is that it's going to expand past the two things that you just said of getting meetings and conversations and lead gen. Like it's developed into so much more than that. And obviously I'm biased. However, I've chatted with every single VP of sales is so invested, you know, that it's in a high growth startup or high growth software company, is so invested in sales development because it's been proven that it works time and time again. And the model works, and it's not new. I mean, the model has been around 10, 15 years, but what I was mentioning earlier in our call is it's so difficult to stay on top of inside sales and what's working and what's not, to even down to the details of our messaging. What worked 6 months ago does not work anymore. That kidnapped by aliens email that everyone hates, people loved it. It was the highest engaged email that I use a third party for best practices with messaging. Highest conversion rate of any email used in its time. And now it's, you know, it doesn't work at all because it's been done. So that's just an example of, you know, how quickly it's changed. When I was an SDR 6 years ago, aging myself, I didn't join, you know, software right out of school, but we had Salesforce and that was it. You know, there was no, you know, Yesware, I'd say, is like was early on in that adoption of email activity. And now there's the Sales Lofts and the outreaches that are in SendBlooms and whatnot that are a lot larger in terms of a powerhouse of new tools that are out there. So technology-wise, it's changing messaging. It's changing with the whole ABM initiative and account-based everything initiative. A lot of the way that we go after accounts as a business is dramatically different than it was 6 months ago. With marketing, sales has been doing ABM, and that can be a whole topic for another day. Sales has been doing ABM for years, but now marketing is starting to align with sales and target these accounts in a way like we've never done before, which has been, really interesting. So I think the future of the org, I'm very bullish about it. And there's companies that have VPs at the executive table of sales development. And that's how it should be, because at the end of the day, we're touching every single org function in the commercial business. And the team, it's the team that actually is the one talking to prospects and knows what's working, resonating, and what's not. We have one of our board members, Bill Gurley. He's pretty well known, especially in the Bay Area. I actually, when I first started, and clearly he's, worth quite a bit of money and he's made some great decisions. He actually brought me in, in my first few months as a manager, because he wanted to know what messaging was resonating out in the marketplace. And, he wasn't asking sales or the VP of marketing. He was asking the people that talk to the prospects every day, all day, and what's resonating and what's not. That was smart, and he understands it. So I think the more VPs of sales that grew up more in the field sales era are starting to, really understand that inside sales can be a huge powerhouse and should have a seat at the table.
Okay, so I'm not going to let you off the hook easy on this one, because I want your guess, your hypothesis about how things are going to change. And one thing I picked up on that you said right off the top was when I mentioned that sales development is really about starting conversations and landing meetings, you said mm-hmm. you think it's going to be much more than that. Mm-hmm. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, and I think an easy way to kind of explain that is looking at, I have a lot of colleagues that run inside sales teams or SDR teams, and it's been interesting to see, what they take ownership of as it moves upstream. So I've seen a lot of SDR managers become the VP of demand gen, which is a role that's been around, but it's getting a lot more traction as a function of itself and on the executive team. Also field operations, which I have a lot of SDR leaders who run field ops and sales ops. So if you think about what all of those different roles mean for the business, and all of those are outcomes of sales development, it can be, it shows the power of all of those orgs aligning, for one common goal, which is obviously pipeline and then eventually revenue. So I think part of it comes down to, there's a lot of, I just heard, I forget her name, but at Microsoft, there's actual an entire department focused entirely on account-based efforts, account-based prospecting. And I think that's the future in the short term of where sales development is going, to really, completely own the demand gen process once they're working in a multi-touch ABM model with aligned with, it's not marketing, sales, and SDRs anymore. It's, these are our accounts, and we're going to take every ammo we have to, go after them and attack them in this company-wide methodology. And it's working. So, and SDRs are the root of that, right? So really understanding what messaging's working, which accounts we're going after, all those questions from a demand gen perspective are, come through the SDR team.
Yeah, I totally agree. One thing that we talk about a lot here is, as you mentioned, the email that you were sending 6 months ago no longer works today mm-hmm. because everyone already knows about it, and a bunch of people copied it, and your prospects may have seen it 5 times already. I mean, people are still sending, yeah. what I call the Aaron Ross email. Can you refer me to the person in charge of X? Right? Yeah. People are still sending that email. And it works to some degree, but I think we're seeing diminishing returns all around.
Totally.
And one thing that seems obvious to me is kind of a blending of skill sets. So, SDRs will be expected to know a little bit more about marketing, a little bit more about teaching totally. And creating content, a little bit mm-hmm. more about consultative selling. So all of these mm-hmm. things will be blended into a team who's responsible for initiating a relationship, and then maybe it'll get right. handed off to the other team who's expected to, you know, right. work out all the technical details and make sure there's a fit and actually close the business.
Yeah, and I like that you mentioned that, because I think having, you know, been at an enterprise company, we don't have an SMB mid-market, so vertical like a lot of other companies have. So we've had to been, you know, get creative in terms of the career path for our SDRs, especially the ones that we hire, you know, a year or two right out of school, because there's such a time lap between an enterprise software rep and an SDR. So in doing that, we've created kind of some middle tier roles, yes, but also just more responsibilities. So we actually, some of our, not every SDR, but our SDRs that can write, we've had them produce blog posts for us and work with the marketing team to produce some of the content when they don't have the bandwidth. And actually, we have a couple of SDRs on our team who are, you know, they've gotten so good at writing blogs that they've come up with their own topics and they pitch it to our marketing team to produce. So, and I think that's just a great example of, it doesn't have to just be, you know, the sales loft, email, call, social cadence, like expand your reach. Of course, snail mail, you know, with companies like SendBloom is becoming popular again, and it's working. But if you can do that and create, you know, a social presence for yourself and self-brand, and, you know, change the way you think about outreach, it can really be powerful, you know, for the rest of your career too, and allows you to have a lot more skill sets than just booking meetings.
Absolutely. Well, it's a competitive world out there, to say the least, yeah. and it will increasingly favor lifelong learners. So thank you so much for being here, Nelly. If anybody wanted to catch up with you, what's the best way to track you down and send you a message?
Yeah, definitely. I'm on LinkedIn, obviously. So it's just Nelly Abe on there. And then my personal email is just nellyabe@gmail.com, because you got to self-brand. I should have not said that and made sure that prospectors could find me, because I'm out there out there easily. But yeah, I would love to connect, you know, especially SDR leaders that are new in the field, happy to chat. So that's something that, you know, I have those mentors, and I'm always looking to have that same, you know, opportunity to give back as well.
Fantastic. Well, you've been really generous with all of your experience and providing your contact info. Hopefully you won't get too much spam. thank you so much for being here, Nelly.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks. I appreciate it.